الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. We were discussing about guarding of the gazes. Hazrat Damat Barakatum, our Shaykh Arif Billah, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Adam Allah Fuyudam, also gives this advice with it, that a person in the morning when he leaves his house, then he must make qasd-e adam-e nazar. Qasd, intention, adam, not to look, nazar, not to look. Another look, so he must make the intention that I'm not going to look at any woman. A person who makes this intention, Hazrat says, hopefully he will get saved from lustful gazes. And if a person has adam qasd-e nazar, that is, he does not have the intention of not looking, so he's in neutral. If a person just leaves his house, he hasn't made the intention, I'm going to be looking at women today, and neither has he made the intention consciously, and he has resolved that I'm not going to look, such a person will look at women. If he makes the intention, and a simple way to understand this, like if a person hasn't made any intention to look and not to look, he hasn't made any intention. So it's like a car that is in neutral. If somebody pushes it from the front, it will go back. Somebody pushes it from the back, it will go front. The brakes are not up, the car is in neutral. Whichever way you push it, it will go. But if you want that nobody must push that car, then you'll put it, not only the handbrakes on, you'll even put it in gear. And if it's a steep incline, you'll even put stones, bricks or something by the wheels to make sure it doesn't move. So like that, when a person leaves the house, if he puts his brakes on that I'm not going to look, and he makes that firm resolution that I'm not going to look, then that person, hopefully, he will get saved. And where there is a sharp decline, the road is going sharp, it's a dangerous road, then put bricks also by the wheels. In other words, when you are going to a place where there are women you know, and they are dressed badly, and unfortunately for some work of yours or whatever, you have to go there, and then you have to make extra precaution also. Then a person will get saved. Otherwise, if a person just goes as neutral, and in the Khanqah of Hadrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, the cornerstone of the Khanqah was that we must not cause any inconvenience to any person in any way. So Hadrat made this usul that a person who makes this niyat of qasd-e adam-e iza, that I'm not going to cause any inconvenience to any person today, that person will get saved from not causing inconvenience. And if a person has got adam-e qasd-e iza, he hasn't got the intention that adam-e qasd-e iza, he hasn't got the intention of harming anyone, not harming anyone, then that person will harm people. So this is, and this is a very important aspect of our deen. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali used to say, if a person wants to become a Sufi, he should go to some other khanqah. If he wants to become an insan, a human being, he should come to my khanqah. And this is a very important thing, that in our life we must not cause inconvenience to any person. While we are on it, we'll just discuss this also, because this is also a very important aspect. And this causing inconvenience starts right in the house. How we use the bathroom, the toilet, we don't care. We regard the wife as a piece of dirt or something. Doesn't matter, we are the big lords, we can mess up the toilet, and we don't care how we leave it for them. That should not be the case. Whether it is at home, whether it is public toilets, masjid toilets, We must use it such a way that we leave it suitable for the next person. Going in the toilet and then smoking there, leaving the terrible smell, flushing the toilet after using it. How sad that almost all public toilets have to have a notice that after use, please flush. Right? That should be a thing that we should know that we have to do. It wasn't a thing that we had to be told to do. That your dirt you just want to leave there and leave it for somebody else. When we're in an aeroplane, and especially if we are namaz conscious, and we make wuzu in the toilet there, then leave the toilet in such a way that nobody has got an objection after that. Because in all probability a non-Muslim will use it. And after we came out and it's all water messed around everywhere, though it's only water, but the other person feels doesn't feel comfortable at all. So we should make sure that the basin, the floor, everything, we don't leave splashes on the mirror, on the toilet seat. We should wipe it off so that the next person doesn't feel inconvenience. One time, traveling by train, Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmed Madani Rahmatullah Ali, they were sitting, and one person, in fact a Hindu person, went to the toilet and immediately he came back. Maulana immediately understood that the toilet must be dirty. That is why the person hasn't used the toilet. Maulana got up and went and he cleaned the toilet. And then afterwards he came and he told that person, go now. Now you can use it. It's clean. When he came back, he said that, please, before I clean myself, let you clean my heart from kufr and shirk. This akhlaq when it is in a person. Then people can see. So they clean the toilet, other people's dirt. Today we are such that after we eat the bones, etc., we feel so, we don't feel like touching it ourselves also. Our own bones. And how sad also it is that when we're sitting together on a dastarkhan and eating, and then some of the satis make little khidmat at least, they collect the plates, the empty plates. But the bones of other people who had eaten, they all our satis, we are all Muslims, but they just don't want to touch those bones with their fingers. The way they carry on as if it is so much of it, it's so dirty or something. In other words, this is pride in a person, that he's not prepared, and all these things help to break pride. When a person cleaning the plate, etc., your own plate, and picking up the crumbs on the dastarkhan, where on the one side, the great benefit of it is, it helps to break pride. On the other side, it is narrated, it is the dowry, the meher for the hurul in. And a person who has paid up front is definitely going to get delivery. So he will get his hurul in. So it helps a lot that to pick up those crumbs. But many people feel it beyond them. One time, one postmaster was having some meals with Hadrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haqsab Rahmatullah Ali. And a little bit fell out of the plate on the dastarkhan. So Maulana told that postmaster, pick it up and eat it. So he said, this is beyond me, I can't do that. It is beyond my dignity and my honor that I must pick up something that has fallen out from the plate, that has fallen on the dastarkhan. I'm a big person, I'm a postmaster general. Maulana explained to him in such a beautiful way and asked him that if the Minister of Post and Telegraph, the Minister in the Prime Minister's Parliament, in his cabinet, he sends you a chocolate and a piece of the chocolate falls down, will you pick it up and eat it? He said, definitely, that the Minister of Post and the Minister has sent it for me. Such a big person. So then Maulana explained to him, this food has been sent to you and this food of yours has been sent directly by Allah Ta'ala. Food, dane dane par khane wale ka naam likha hota hai. Musawwamatan. Name is written on every dana, on every qatra, drop of food, on every morsel, the name of the eater is written. So Allah has sent it. Who is the Minister of Post and Telegraph? Allah Rabbul Izzat has sent it directly for you. Then he realized. Like that, if the Minister of Post and Telegraph have to send us a chocolate, perhaps we won't eat the chocolate also, we'll just keep it. We'll want to freeze it and keep it so that generations and generations. Otherwise, at least the wrapper of the chocolate will keep. That this was sent to me by the Minister of Post and Telegraph, and it will be an honor for us in our family, our children and progeny. What Allah has sent, that how much more greater honor. And what Allah has sent personally for a person. So anyway, this all our eating habits, even all our habits, even eating, we must not inconvenience anyone on the dastarkhan also. So at home, the toilet also, the bathroom, our habits at home, in the hadith it comes that when a person sneezes, then he should put a cloth or something and muffle the sound, not make it a big sound. How many of us at home, we sneeze in such a way that it looks like an earthquake happened. And the poor wife sleeping or doing some reading namaz or anything, and she gets such a shock. And if the poor baby is sleeping, we don't consider the baby, we don't consider the wife or anyone. Our sneezing, our coughing, and also yawning also, it has come. That when we yawn, try and control the yawn as much as possible. And when we can't, then put your hand. But how many of us, and this has been, we have been warned against this in the hadith, that a person opens his mouth wide. But we don't only open our mouth wide, and there's a fear of it even getting slit the side, so wide we open. And the way we stretch our hands, this is the way of Fir'aun and Qarun and them. Not the way of a Allah conscious person. Not the way of a Muslim. So all these habits, we must control them, and we have to learn them at home. So at home, anything else also, we should not cause, and this inconvenience starts from the home. We should see that we don't try and do a little few things of our own we should do. We pick up our own dirty clothing, put it into the basket, etc. All that, we just leave it, we just throw it around. And we take advantage of the house people. Even make the bed sometimes. Whatever we can, little bit we should do. We shouldn't leave anything of ours in such a way that to inconvenience other people. And even the masjid toilets, all public toilets, bathrooms, we should be careful where somebody else is going to be using it. Then don't leave it in such a dirty and filthy way. And also, the car parking. This is also how sad, till today, after how many years, a jalsa, a bayan, lecture takes place, ijtima, continuously announcements are made. Car so and so is blocking the way or it must be removed. It's causing an inconvenience, it's causing a difficulty to people. A Muslim should never be like that. On the road when driving, a Muslim driver doesn't have to be taught to be considerate. Deen teaches us. And to drive in such a way, and we cause inconvenience to other people. Forget causing an accident, even just inconvenience in any way. That according to Shariat is not allowed this. To push in, just overtake anywhere, and just push in our way here and there, that is not allowed according to Shariat. It is not permissible at all. So anywhere and any way to inconvenience people. Yeah, while we are in a tikaf and we are in our room, we are with somebody because the curtains are down and we forget, our mind doesn't work and we think that nobody else can hear. And we talk and we cause, and the person next to us in the other room wants to get up early, and so he has slept away early, and we are now having something to eat, and we are talking there, and we are disturbing his sleep. How many? Yeah, in the i'tikaf, we put our watches, alarms on our cells, etc., whatever it is, and we're putting it for an early time. And somebody else now, and it rings, and we don't get up. And it carries on ringing all the time. And we're just not paying attention. We're not even putting it off. We're not getting it up. And we're spoiling other people's sleep. And there are so many light sleepers whose sleep gets disturbed at one time. After that, they can't fall asleep again. They find it extremely difficult to fall asleep again. So all these things we must consider. We must not inconvenience any person in any way whatsoever. Many times we are walking with a friend, we're walking towards the door of the masjid or anywhere else, this happens many places. And at the door now we start talking with one another. And we block the doorway. Now that other people want to move, and we are so inconsiderate, we just don't see other people. And some even see them, but still it doesn't strike them. Still they carry on just talking at the door and causing inconvenience to other people. Our shoes, when we take them off, almost all masjids have got sufficient shoe racks, but we will just leave them at the bottom. This is also not at all acceptable, and it is not correct in any way. The shoe racks are made to be used, and remove the shoes. We leave our shoes all sprawled out there. Somebody might, in the middle of namaz, he has to go to toilet urgently, or anything else, for any other need, it happens at times. And now the shoes are all in the way, and the person can't move, and is in a desperate hurry. And when you're in a hurry, you're not fully in control of yourself. Now the person can fall down, he has to go to toilet or something, and now he can fall down, hurt himself, he can mess himself, mess the place there, just because we didn't comply with what we had to do. So all these things are extremely important, wherever it is. Therefore, in the hadith so much, that when you are, don't inconvenience yourself also. If you are late for namaz, we should try not to be late. But if you are late, then don't run for the namaz. In the running, it shows for yourself that you're not like a respectable person, a dignified person, a person who is running like that. And the other thing is, when you are running, you can fall, you can cause inconvenience to yourself. So we are prohibited from that. And when people are sitting in their safs, we are even prohibited from jumping over their shoulders and going to the front. Even that we are prohibited. We are causing inconvenience to that person. And everywhere we must consider this. In the Haramain, if other people come and sit directly in front of us, we were sitting 2 hours in a saf. And 5 minutes before namaz, somebody comes and sits right in front of you. This is your akhlaq, you try and accommodate him. But we shouldn't do it to anyone else. If anyone else has done it to us, we should not do this and inconvenience somebody else and take somebody else's place, etc. So in every aspect and every person, our clothing, keep it clean, tidy. There shouldn't be a stench, a smell coming, and we call inconvenience other people. In the hadith clearly, if you have eaten garlic, fresh onion, then don't come to the masjid, because that smell is going to inconvenience other people. So in our time, the smoking or other things, that the smell which comes from the mouth of smoking, etc., and we inconvenience other people. And how sad if the husband is a smoker, for example, and he sleeps at night with his wife, and that smell, she has to tolerate it. Which not only inconvenience, her health also. That the passive smoking causes harm, just like active smoking. A smoker, and the smoke that he blows out, and it's in the atmosphere, and other people breathe it in, it causes harm to them. And we don't need laws of the road department that your car must not be taking out fumes from the exhaust. There is a law, it's not allowed, because it causes pollution. And it's a lot of wastage also when your car is eating oil and using too much oil, and it's now the oil fumes are coming out terrible. So those fumes, oil also is being wasted, and also it is causing pollution, and it is very unhealthy. A person who looks after his health and breathes in fresh air, one bit of that, and it harms him so much, his lungs. Those fumes. So whether it is a smoker, whether it is a truck or a bus or something like that, and if we are the owners of it, our cars, we must see that they don't take out these fumes. We are causing inconvenience to other people. So all this, and there is much more detail which every person should think for himself. So all this came from the qasd-e adam-e iza. We must make this intention, I must not cause any inconvenience to other people. Our whole life, live it like that. At home, at our workplace, wherever we are, we go to the masjid, we go to a ijtima, we go to a jalsa, we must make very sure that we are not the cause of inconvenience to any person. Many of us, we make appointments and we don't keep to the appointment. Now the other person is conscious, he has now put all his work aside. And now we just don't worry, we just carefree, we pitch up half an hour later, 1 hour later. One time, one pious person, a rightfully pious person, his son was getting married, so when they were going with the jan, the groom's party, all of them, there were 10, 20 cars that were going. Now this father, who was a pious person, they were supposed to leave at about 9:30 in the morning. And at 9:30, he went to the masjid to make namaz. Salatul Dhuha, Salatul Hajah. So one other person was conscious of things. He came and he reprimanded him severely. He told him, if you wanted to make your namaz and all that, you should have come here 8:30. You should have come here 9:00. Now when all the cars are lined up, now you're coming, you're doing a good thing to make namaz, but causing inconvenience is not permissible, even whether it's your namaz. So much so that zikr loudly, whether it is in a masjid, and if somebody is making namaz, somebody is sleeping, it's not allowed. If we zikr at home, somebody is sleeping, don't make loud zikr there. Go to a different path or make soft zikr. Don't make loud tilawat when you're disturbing somebody else. Although you are making tilawat of Quran Sharif, but you are not allowed to disturb, to cause inconvenience to any other person. So all these details are very, very important in a Muslim's life. It's our deen is not just a matter of making namaz and making lot of ibadat, but this is very important. And we do, the way our life, we have fashioned it and styled it as though there is no adabul muasharat. Adabul muasharat is such an important aspect of our deen. Akhlaq is such an important aspect. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Bu'ithu li utimma makarim al akhlaq. I have been sent to complete and teach people good akhlaq. So this is a very important aspect of our deen also. We can't neglect this aspect and only think that we're making our tahajjud and all must tolerate us, etc. No, all these things of ours must also be corrected. So our whole life, everywhere, whether it's at work, whether we're driving, whether we're walking on the road, whatever it is, we shouldn't cause inconvenience to any person. And then, as far as our mort also is concerned, don't inconvenience any person, as whatever is in our control. Like, for example, draw your well up properly. And what does that entail? Having an Islamic well. It's not giving that I'm giving so much, so and so, so much, so and so, so much. That Quran is fixed already. Up to 1/3 we allow. Somebody else we want to give, we can give. Otherwise, our inheritors and what their shares are, Shariat has fixed that already. But what must we fix in our well? That, for example, we are owing somebody money. That must be written down. Somebody is owing us money. That must be written down. Where have we kept our money? Wherever we have kept it, whether it's in a bank locally, whether it's overseas, whether it's under the mattress, whether we have hidden it anywhere else, we have given loans to people so that the executors of our estate, when they sit down, they mustn't have problems now. Everything must be clear, 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 written down. Exactly they know, hey, what is this person's position. And some people, perhaps they have contracted a second marriage privately. Nobody knows about it. So those people, that wife, and if she has got children, they also have got hukuk. Now if they come in claim, and it's not known to anyone. So this is causing grave inconvenience. And as far as money matters, muamalat are concerned, so all these matters must be very clear. Secret marriage is not correct also. A person, if he gets married, he must make it known. Aninu bihadan nikah. Nikah must be made public, not kept a secret. So, all these matters must be very clear. If we are owing people money, perhaps those people, they haven't got proof now that we borrowed money from them. Also, this is not according to Shariat. We borrow money from somebody and we don't write it down. It must be written. There must be two witnesses to it. You keep one paper. Give them one paper. You died. You borrowed 100,000 from somebody. Now these people come and claim it. It's only their word. And if these people don't accept their word, 100,000, you will be doing harm to those people. Or somebody borrowed money from you, and it's not written anywhere, it's not kept on record at all. Now you have died. Most probably those people are not going to own up. Very few will come that we had borrowed this money, here is the money, here we are returning it. That there's no record of it anywhere. So the rights of the inheritors is going to be harmed here. The children who were supposed to get share, the wife, whoever was going to get a share, nowadays 100,000 short, which nobody knows about. Their share is not coming right. So all these things, a Muslim's life must be correct in everything. Amongst five great virtues of a person who keeps his will ready all the time, one of them is that he gets the mot of a shaheed. Just by keeping your will ready, you get the mot of a shaheed. So our money matters, all our matters must be very clear, so that even after we die, there must be no ambiguity, no inconvenience, and the people, it must be such that within 2-3 days, the executors can sit down and sort out all the matters. When it's a legal matter, it takes years to sort out in the courts all these matters to wind up an estate. But according to Sharia, it can be done in a matter of 2-3 days. Allow 2-3 days for the bereavement. People are sad, the person has just passed. But then sort it out. It comes so much so in the hadith. A person whose matters are not sorted out, and we left it, we didn't tie the ends. We left the matters just loose like this. And then that person, when he dies, is put in quarantine. Just like if a person goes to a country where you have to have injection, vaccination for yellow fever, etc., you haven't got, they put you in quarantine for 3 days, sometimes 7 days, 24 hours, whatever it is, you are put in quarantine. So there also, a person whose financial matters, his estate, he didn't have it clear, and now till they wind it up, some people 50 years, 80 years, some people never gets wound up. The matters just remain, that person remains in quarantine if he is guilty. If he did all his matters clearly, he appointed his executors, everything, and their negligence, then he's not at fault. But where he left his matters like that, it's not known at all what his matters are. And lot of ambiguity is left in this. And unfortunately, the ummah almost at large, the very pious also, are so guilty of this when it comes to inheritance and distribution of inheritance. We don't do it as if Shariat, there aren't no Shariat laws. And in fact, what the Muslim personal law now, in fact it is being enforced, and it is so surprising that even ulama are so determined to have the Muslim personal law, which is against Shariat, where there is gender equality. Woman must get equal to what men get, and Shariat doesn't allow that. And we are helping to force an anti-Islamic law. In the name of Islam, we are forcing down the Muslims an anti-Islamic law. It is very, very surprising and shocking that ulama can't understand this matter. That how can we be, we shouldn't be accepting, if it's forced on us and we're living in the country, we can't help it, but that we are aiding and helping and fighting for it, that we want these laws. So how can that be allowed in any way? So anyway, whatever, all the details, and Islam is the deen that has 100% protected the rights of every person, and seen to it that there must be no empty, the crux of deen, the basis of deen is that we must not cause any inconvenience to any person. If we abide by deen properly, that will be there, that we don't cause inconvenience. And like many of us outside, we are so pious and we are so soft and kind and generous also, but in the house it's a different story. Whereas the whole deen starts from the house. At home we must be good with the family, with everyone at home and then let it go outside also. But we, many of us outside, we put on a, what a show, how we carry on. And then at home it's a different thing. So inconvenience to any person in any way, that is what we, the cornerstone of the Khanqah of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. From there our Shaykh has used the same principle that forbid nazri, not to cast lustful glances, make this firm intention. One time in Nizamuddin, Hazrat Maulana Ilamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali told that if a person, he was speaking on niyat, that today we are very weak in making intention. If a person makes niyat in the morning that I'm going to make my five times namaz today, already his sawabs have started. Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Jazawumullah Khair, explained so beautifully that a mu'min is 24 hours in namaz. When Allah had first made namazes for us, how many? 100. Ji? 50. 50 namazes a day Allah had made for us. So Allah Ta'ala made it 5 afterwards. But Allah said, مَا يُبَدَّلُ الْقَوْلُ لَدَيَّ. The sawabs I won't change, still 50. And if we have to calculate, to make 50 namazes a day, will be 24 hours we'll be in namaz. All the time we'll be in namaz. Nothing else we'll do. And it's the right of Allah. If Allah wants that, that is what we should do. And we don't have to worry that where we're going to earn, Allah will provide everything. It is Allah. So anyway, so Hadraji said a mu'min is such that, for example, we made Asr finish now. So our mind is now Maghrib I have to make. Where, if a person is traveling, many times we do this also. Where are we going to make Maghrib namaz now? We have finished our Asr now. Where will we make Maghrib? Now that worry is there, your niyat is to make, you're already in Asr namaz, or your Maghrib namaz. You have finished your Maghrib, now you think, Isha, will we make it? Will we make it at home? Will we be back home already? Or will we have to make it on the way? Your niyat is to make Isha, you're already in Isha namaz. So by niyat, you are 24 hours. So in the morning, if we make this niyat, we just come out of the house, we don't make niyat that today I'm going to have to make Zohar. We know we have to make. When the time will come, we will make. And a person also, if Allah give us this amount of deen and piety, that we center our dunya around our deen. Not our deen around our dunya. That, for example, we are going to town, we have to do work, we're going to this place, going to that place, lot of places. But first, how we make our plan? Where will we get our zohar? And as far as possible, with jamaat, where will I get my zohar? With jamaat. And around that I will do this work, I will do that work, I will do that work. For asr we'll make it there, and my work which is on that side, then I'll make my asr around that side. So we center our activity around namaz, around deen. And we, not that, I'll do my work, and then wherever I get place, I'll make namaz. Rather, first fix the place of namaz, the time of namaz, and our activity around namaz. That is a high form of piety. May Allah bless us with that. And so a person that today, if we are going out especially, where I'm going to make my zohar, asr, everything, and if just normal, but make the niyat I'm going to make, from that you get your sawab already. All the other things also. Then Hadraji said that, for example, we're not going to drink liquor, inshallah. Allah will protect us, inshallah. We're not going to eat swine, for example. We are not going to commit adultery. But we don't make the niyat of abstaining from it. So we don't get the sawab, we don't get the guna of committing it. And neither have we made intention that I'm going to commit adultery today, that I'm going to eat swine, I'm going to drink alcohol. We're not going to, so we don't make that niyat also. And we haven't made the niyat. And we haven't made the niyat of abstaining. So no sawab, no good. If we make the niyat, just this niyat, that I'm not going to eat alcohol, drink alcohol, I'm not going to commit adultery, I'm not going to eat swine, all day, I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to backbite, I'm not going to make bad nazri, lustful gazes, etc. All that niyat we make, for staying away from haram is the sawab of doing a faras. Just because our niyat we are weak, we're losing all the sawab. If we make that sawab, We don't make the niyat, we don't, and we're not going to do it. So we're not going to get the guna also. But if we make the niyat, we'll get the sawab for abstaining. And this is that consciousness, that we must not be Muslims only according to environment. That according to environment is very conducive, mahol, sohbat, helps a lot. But we must not only be Muslims according to environment. What does that mean? Like when we went to Brazil, they explained there, the Muslims that had come there were mostly from Spain and then from Palestine, from Jordan, etc. And what they had always done, they made South America the dumping ground for Muslims. They went and dumped them. They picked them up from other places and brought them here where there was no deen or anything. So there in their countries, the vast majority, and whether it is even in our countries today, Muslim countries, whether it is India, Pakistan, Malaysia, Indonesia, the masses generally are Muslims just by environment. That it's Ramzan now, everyone keeping roza, we also keep roza. It's Eid day, everyone is making Eid namaz, we also make Eid namaz. And we see, so when they brought those Muslims to South America, and there was no environment, nobody was keeping roza, so nobody kept rozas. Nobody was making namaz, nobody made namaz. And environment now was non-Islamic dress. Everyone wore non-Islamic dress. In your own country, you might wear Islamic dress because of the environment. But now there was no environment, so they left their deen like this. And then afterwards it happened where it is assumed that they were all 100% Muslims of South America. Today, so few Muslims. So we must be Muslims on ilm, on knowledge, that we have the knowledge that I am a Muslim. And the consciousness, when we don't have that, see, in our environment, where there is an Islamic environment, but we go for Hajj, for example. We are going on Saudia. Saudia has got, in most of the planes, they've got a room for namaz. But you'll see on the plane, many people don't make namaz. Many other people also don't make. There isn't an environment of namaz, so nobody gets up to make namaz. If there's an environment of namaz, then everyone, many places, when you have a tabligh jamaat on the plane, for example, and alhamdulillah, they are conscious, they get up, they go for namaz, and they just make little gusht and tell others namaz time. They don't force anyone, it's namaz time, now time will get, others make namaz. When the environment is there, they make. When the environment is not there, we don't make. How many people today admit they went to non-Muslim hotels, we stay in hotels everywhere, and they ate food, and because no environment, they ate wrong food there also. Because the environment is not there. So environment plays an important, but if you are dependent on only environment, the day you don't have environment, then you're also going to become unconscious of your deen. You give up your deen. And then knowledge alone is not enough also. Many people have got knowledge, it's namaz time now, it's faraz. But they still don't make their namaz. Then more than that yaqeen, that trust on Allah Ta'ala. So environment is very important. So anyway, what we were discussing is that we must not cause inconvenience to any person. And the niyat in the morning, that a person must make this niyat, whom Allah gives for the tawfiq, very fortunate is that person. Another very important point that I remember, Hadrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, said that whenever you get tawfiq to make amal on a sunnat, on any matter of deen, then say Jazakallah to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How are we going to say Jazakallah to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. Because of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we got tawfiq of that amal. And when we get tawfiq of any sunnat, any matter of deen, which is perfect human life, so how shouldn't we be thankful? We came out of animalism. We are going towards the malaika. We are having angelic qualities, etc. How much mustn't we be thankful? And a person who reads this durood one time, Jazallahu anna Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ma huwa ahlu, 70 farishtas, angels, get tired writing the sawab for 1,000 days. And Allah's accounting system is not some old-fashioned, outdated system. It is that system where man will never reach, but the sawab is so great. So whenever we get tawfiq, we should say, Jazallahu anna Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ma huwa ahlu. So if we get a niyat of making niyat in the, a tawfiq of making niyat in the morning, that today I'm going to make my five times namaz, you are going to teach sabaks, for example, today I'm going to go teach this, and if anything happened and you couldn't, anything can happen, and you still, your sawab is already written. A person who makes man hamma bihasanatin, a person who makes niyat of doing a good deed, immediately he gets a sawab. When he does it, Allah increases the sawab. And according to the quality with which he does it, the sawab is even increased more. And niyatul mu'min khayrun min amalihi. The niyat of a mu'min is better than his amal. For example, we make niyat that I'm going to be making maghrib namaz. Now, if you might die before that, and still you got your sawab already, though you haven't made it, but you got your sawab already. And whenever we will make niyat, I'm going to make maghrib, nobody will make a niyat that I'm going to make a deficient, a incomplete, without concentration, devotion. Your niyat is to make a perfect namaz. And your sawab is of that. When the amal will come, your amal won't be able to match up with your niyat. Your niyat is much more, and you get your sawab according to your niyat already. Your amal will, our amal will always be deficient. But amal, niyat, we can make a very good, a student, for example, I want to become an alim, he's thinking. He's still got 2-3 years before he's going to, but already made his niyat. He's got it. And what is his niyat? To become the best alim, a perfect alim, to become hafiz. Your niyat is not to become a weak hafiz. Your niyat is to become a perfect hafiz, to read with perfect makharij and perfect tajweed. But in a practice, you're going to falter. You will falter. But your niyat, according to niyat, there is sawab. So even to stay away from guna, make that niyat also. All the major gunas that we are going to stay away from them, we'll get that. While you are, when you get up in the morning, perhaps it's very few people who just jump out of bed. Unless it's an urgent matter and you have to then. But otherwise, a person is groggy, he's lying in bed. And while you're getting fresh, while you are lying in bed, make all these niyats. And then at night again, Allahu Akbar. We make the niyat in the morning, we won't cast any lustful gazes on anyone. And then at night when you return home, make tawbah for any mistakes. And a few days of this practice, and we'll see if a person is sincere and he wants to save himself from these lustful gazes. Just do this a few days in the morning, make the niyat, I'm not going to look. And if you falter, you are such a person, our Shaykh says when you start, you might be committing 500 lustful gazes a day. But you make little effort, in a few days you'll see it comes to 300, 100, 50, 10, and soon it will be under control, inshallah. Then here and there, you're a human, you might still make mistakes, but you'll make tawbah immediately. So in the morning, make this niyat. Then at night, and especially when a person returns, see how Allah has made arrangement for us. That awwabin namaz, it's the name of awwabin, another name is tawwabin. That a person who makes awwabin means a person who makes a lot of tawbah. And when is the awwabin namaz? After maghrib. So just like a person who works on a farm, who works in a factory, and he comes home, now in the evening, then first thing, he showers. Even the wife says, I'm not giving you food. First you go and shower, change your clothes. With all your dirty clothes and you're so dusty and you want to come and sit on the dastarkhan, you go and shower first. So now you are clean and then you come for your supper, etc. So Allah gave us awwabin namaz at the same time, after maghrib. For your whole day, whatever wrong you have done perhaps in the day, take a spiritual bath. Remove all your dirt, your gunas. Make awwabin. A person who makes awwabin namaz, it comes in the hadith, even if his gunas are equal to all the foam of all the oceans of the world, they are forgiven by awwabin namaz. Tawwabin namaz, its other name is Tawwabin. Allah says, Inna Allah yuhibbu Tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin. It comes, it is narrated, At-ta'ibu min al-dhamb kamal la dhambala. A person who makes tawbah, not tawwab, just taib, that person is, no guna is left on him. So we make the niyat in the morning, make qasd-e adam-e nazar. I'm not going to look today. Whatever happens, I'm not going to look. At night, make tawbah istighfar, make awwabin namaz. And a few days like this, and inshallah, we will be relieved of this. And whichever other guna we have got, I got a guna of backbiting. Every day make this consciously, this niyat in the morning. Today I'm not going to backbite. I've got a habit of lying, my anger. Today I'm not going to take out my anger on anyone whatsoever, wrongfully. Where it's necessary and right, that is allowed. But wrongfully, I'm not going to take out my anger on anyone. At night, make tawbah. Where whatever I have faulted, a few days and we'll see a change will come in our lives. Allah Ta'ala will definitely, there is one easy prescription, so many prescriptions for the islah of a person. Use one prescription is enough. If we are sincere, we want to make, but just like, for example, the world don't want AIDS. The world don't want the terrible effects of alcohol, accidents, murders, rapes that take place. But when you tell them that don't mix with the opposite sex, They are not prepared to forego that. Their life is such that they can't. Tell them to give up your alcohol? No, impossible. Nobody wants lung disease and all the problems with lung. Tell them to give up smoking? No, this we can't do. That is our way of life. It is our culture, smoking, drinking, whining, dancing and dining. This we can't give up. So if a person is prepared, and nafs is there, nafs is such a dushman, and we have to recognize, there is a whole subject on its own, to recognize nafs as our dushman, as our enemy. Till we don't, and we are the slaves of our nafs. What we like, we just want to do. We don't want the bad effects of the other things, but we don't want to give up our nafs. Then it will. When a person is sincere, and he is prepared to fight his nafs, and he makes a little effort, his islah takes place. It doesn't take long. His complete islah takes place. But as long as we still want to satisfy that secret god of ours in the heart, that today one are idols which are outside. Hindus, etc. got their idols. And how many idols have we got in our heart? The nafs is the biggest idol that we want to please. We want to make him happy at all time. We don't want to displease our nafs at any time. And in such a way, then a person, no matter, you can have the greatest awe, Quran Sharif's kitab, Hidayat kitab, month of Ramadan, can have the greatest sheikh and peer. Islam won't take place if you want to make your nafs happy. And a person determines that this nafs, and who makes you see other woman, and who makes you commit all the other guna? Your nafs. But if when we realize nafs is our enemy, and I must go against this nafs, then inshallah the person's road is easily open. May Allah give us all tawfiq inshallah. On Thursday or Fridays we should make dua before Jummah, particular time, and whatever other time is left, spend it in Durood Sharif inshallah, and engage in duas inshallah.